On today's episode of The Good, The Bad, and The Watchable, we talk about the Justice League trailer coming out. Are we excited to see a four-hour movie? I know I'm not. We also talk about WandaVision. That's on Disney Plus. That one is actually pretty good. And we get into our review of Judas and the Black Messiah, which debuted on HBO Max and in theaters recently. We also do our favorite segment, Good, Bad, and Watchable. All that is coming up right now.
Deputy Chairman Fred Hampton of the Illinois Black Panther Party.
Repeat after me.
Looking at 18 months for the stolen car, 5 years for impersonating a federal officer, or you can go home.
Anywhere there's people, there's power.
It's The Good, The Bad, and The Watchable movie podcast with Nick Boyle right there, Mark DeSisto over there, and myself, Nick Rojas. Fellas, happy Valentine's Day. You guys, be mine. That's my Valentine's message to you guys. Be mine, as in be mine podcast co-host. Nope, didn't work. All right, maybe okay. We'll try again next year. Boyle, how you doing? How'd you celebrate with anything romantic, any kind of movie that struck your fancy?
Movie-wise, no. Oh. We did like a little, our own little like paint night at home. We had a little dinner. Then we did a paint night. Then we like sat and watched a movie and both fell asleep halfway through. So
did you paint a movie?
We painted a picture that could tell a movie.
Okay. All right. Close enough. No spoilers, but in my good, bad, watchable, watch something romantic. So that's a little spoiler going on. Mark, we all know your true love is fine dining, but any romantic kind of movie influences over the weekend?
You know what I did? I have like kind of half watched New Year's Eve the other night. That one's like kind of like a corny rom-com-ish. Mm-hmm. And then I actually watched When Harry Met Sally for the first time all the way through. And I got to say, that movie, I'll talk about it later, but that was probably the extent of my romanticism for the weekend.
Oh, we will. That's what we in the biz call a tease for later in the podcast. There's so many, the romance genre has really turned into basically Netflix teen romance movies over the last 5 years, but that's a topic for another time that we'll challenge one day. But we have plenty of news stories to get into. We also have some WandaVision discussion, but first we want to get to, on the DC side of things, the new Justice League trailer dropped this past weekend. It was for the Snyder Cut that's coming to HBO Max in less than a month now. I still have not seen the original Justice League. I'm probably holding out until the last minute, or I might go. It's supposed to be 4 hours long. Boyle, what did this trailer do for you? Did it make you excited, not excited, what?
Well, here's what's happening. I told you before, you have to watch the first Justice League. And here's why. Because I'm telling you, this new one is going to be, it is going to have the same storyline, but there's going to be more detail to it that you're going to, I think, just from what I'm taking from the trailers, I think we're going to appreciate a Justice League movie more with Snyder's cut. Whereas this original one was just so like laughable that like you need to see it so we can have the comparison for the podcast.
That's 6 hours of podcast. 6 hours of movies right there.
Guess what? Then take away a different movie. You got to get to it. You've had years. You had a pandemic. You have no excuses, sir.
How I feel about DC is how I felt about Marvel circa 2015. I was like, this just isn't for me. And I don't know if it bounces back from that. I really don't know. Maybe I'll see this one. I'll probably end up seeing it. I'm more excited for Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the show, which comes out the next day, than I am for Snyder Cut here. Mark, any excitement levels change after the trailer?
You know what? This is clearly more mute with the colors that we've seen in the trailer. It's, it has a much like darker kind of edge or feel to it. And I think that's promising, because what makes DC popular, like versus Marvel, where they kind of, Marvel can kind of thrive on jokes and making light of things, where DC, you know, when they're dark and kind of sinister and twisted, that's when the fans kind of really, you know, like it a lot more. And it, and this trailer really makes it seem like that. That's the direction that they're going in. So, I mean, we'll see. But, it, you know, it's 4 hours. It's divided into four different parts. I don't know, Rojas. I'm very on the fence with this new Justice League coming out.
I'm not defending it. I hope you understand that. I'm not defending this. I'm just saying that because we do a movie podcast, you need to watch the original so you can compare it to the new one. And Mark, on your terms, I'm saying that I agree. I'm not expecting we're going to walk out of this and think, wow, what a spectacle. So worth the wait over these years. But I think we're going to appreciate it more than the original. And I think something needs to be said about, and the conversation needs to be had, is if that's the case or if it's not the case, but comparing the two movies and what does that mean for DC going forward and stuff. I feel like you need to see the first one to have.
Yeah, but it, like, so if this goes from, you know, a 2-star movie to a 3-star movie, like, is that worth 4 hours?
Is that worth 6 hours of my time? Well, I still haven't watched the.
Because you're a movie podcaster. No, so but yes, it's exactly what it is.
If the movie isn't good, why am I going to waste my time?
Here's
the thing. Dude, I've heard no good things about the original Justice League.
Okay.
I still haven't watched the trailer for the Snyder Cut.
Three. I think that's the same thing as comparing a remake and saying you shouldn't see the first one and then see a remake. That makes no sense.
I don't. So, but I haven't watched the AFI 100 movies yet. I still have to watch like 30 of those. I'll get to this when I get to this. Another thing, Mark, I want to add to. Zack Snyder confirmed it's a 4-hour movie and not a miniseries. Like, dude, come on. Throw me a bone here, man.
Yeah, that makes it pretty tough. And like, is this going to be weekly releases? Like,
no, it's going to be one shot.
One shot. It's one shot, one movie.
Yeah, that makes it better for me, because I was like, I just want to plow it through this thing.
Right. And that's it. You want to do it and say that you did it and that you then reflect on it and decide if you liked it or not, just like any other movie. Do not get me wrong. This is not 3 hours for Endgame, but at least you can do it from the comfort of your own couch and pause it whenever you want or revisit it the next day.
I'll be prepared this day. You know, it'll be like, I don't have football right now. My Sundays are wide open. I'm just going to, you know, probably make a lot of food, maybe get through the first two, take a break, you know, maybe talk to Boyle about it and dive back in.
Right.
I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch it.
Thank you. It's because you're a true fan, Mark.
I'm only watching.
I don't know if I'm going to like it.
I'm only watching the 4-hour cut.
Strictly the 4-hour cut.
Just doing the 4-hour cut. Sorry. I'm not watching the original version.
Here's why that bothers me is because the dialogue and the script from the first movie you need to see and appreciate, because I think that the script and dialogue in this movie is going to be more like, okay, like a normal movie. And the first time was so of the, I told you, it was that corniness.
Joss Whedon, man.
Jokes. And you need to have suffered through the first movie like the rest of us to see the second one as a moviegoer.
Yeah, you're really not selling them on this.
Boy, like, yeah, none of this sounds enticing.
It's homework. You've made me do homework for the show. I'm making you do
homework. It's like he's telling me, like, you got to eat all the zucchini.
Who do homework? I don't make anyone do homework. You're the teacher, Boyle. You're the homework.
Exactly.
You are the educator,
Boyle. Do your homework.
Well, Boyle, educate us on what you think about WandaVision, episode 6, aired this past weekend. where are we going? Are we getting John Krasinski Are we getting John Krasinski as Richard Reed this weekend?
So yeah, I mean, there's different speculation. Are we going to get the Fantastic Four? Or are we going to get, like, where are they going to go with this? Here's the thing, I don't care. I'm loving every second of this. I'm not even trying to make guesses at this point. I'm at a point where I'm just taking it for what it is, and just like licking my fingers at the end, because every single episode has been miraculous. I think the setup and the creation of the different time zones for each episode is beautiful. They've hit every feel of the, you know, 50s and 60s up through the 80s and then the 90s and the 2000s, like with the Malcolm in the Middle. I know we're all texting about on the side. Like, the attention to detail is what makes this show beautiful. Never mind that they're telling a great story along the way. Never mind the fact that the main character is evil. Oh my goodness. Like, come on. Like, this is great. Like, this is exactly what you look for. And there's two episodes left and a lot can happen. So very exciting to see what's going to happen and where this is going
to
go.
I'd like to play off that with Boylston. Yeah. What they're doing such a good job by making it so that the story is just not obvious. We think it's one way. We think it's another. Then it's back to the other way.
Yep.
We don't know who's good. We don't know who's bad. We only think. It's like we think what's going on. You know, not to be spoilers. You know, if you haven't, you know, watched it all the way through, you might want to skip ahead a couple seconds. But like most recently with you know, Wanda and her children, she's like, I can't control this. We thought she was controlling everything, right? So it's like even from like one episode to the next, you're just like, wait, like, you know, what's really going on? And the way that they can get you thinking and talking about it with your friends is really what makes this show so great. I think I read somewhere on Twitter that it's the highest watched show right now.
Yes. Yeah.
Across all the platforms. I mean, guys, like that's incredible stuff. That we're talking about a comic book adaptation into a series that, you know, live action
that comes out once a week, Friday mornings at 4 o'clock Eastern time.
And it's essentially a 20-minute show. Like it's a sprint.
Yeah. And compared to other Netflix shows or other streaming shows that are like, you're talking like minimum, like 40, 45 minutes a pop. It's like a Queen's Gambit, you know?
It is seriously. I think that's what's great. And I think that the way that they're able to please the casual fan along with the more hardcore, say, comic book fans, I think that's just an incredible display of balance that they've been able to have. I know a couple of my friends that I've chatted with who I will consider subject matter experts when it comes to the comic books.
Right.
You know, they've got all these theories that come out that they've explained to me. And I'm just like, wow. Like, yeah, I've read some things, but like, you know, they've got all this thing. It's got them, you know, spinning all these webs of all the possibilities. But then you have the more casual fan that could say, you know, this is just a good show. Like I've seen the movies, but I'm in. And I think that's incredible.
I do too, Mark. And I think that especially with the way that I picture all the fans like that, like the fans we know that are wicked comic book fans and know all the storylines, like that's like the Charlie Day in the boardroom with all the things on the board. Like that's how I figure like all of the writers of Marvel, like creating this show was like, how can we do this? And how can we spin this? And how can we keep them thinking every single episode of what's going to happen next? Like, so to me, I love that. And I appreciate that about the show. So yes, are there like multiple different characters that could be introduced in some sort of way, or maybe a character we've already met is a different character that's been hinted to? Like, sure. But let's just take it on episode 7 in 4 days, you know? Like that's like exactly where I'm at this point, because I'm like, you just never know what they're going to wipe out next or what they're going to, you know, throw your way. You got to love it.
Now, the final thing I was going to ask you guys is your quick elevator pitch. Why should, and I think they're going to, but let's just use them as an example. Why should the Cookie and Kristen Rojas's of the world watch a show like WandaVision? Elevator pitch quickly. Mark, let's start with you. Consider, I think they've watched every Marvel movie, but you know, it's not front of mind.
Yeah, definitely. You got to be someone who's, I think, at least knows how Endgame ended or what the general idea is before you jump into a show like that, just because of the ambiguity of the, like the subject matter that they go over and like some of the dialogues. Like otherwise you're just going to be as confused as some of the characters are in the show. I would say what it does is it keeps you interested and keeps you kind of guessing for what the next step is. And the nostalgia brings you in, but then the incredible story structure and progression and pacing of the story is what keeps you in. So if you're just in it for like a good story, kind of like any sort of drama / thriller, mystery, anything like that, if you're into shows like that, where you really want to, you know, you're guessing what's happening next, this is one of those shows. But I'd have to recommend, like, you need to know at least the basic, you know, ending or kind of, finale towards like Endgame, just to like kind of give you enough sort of information and background to get into the show. Otherwise, it'd be pretty tough.
Well, what about you?
I would say simply very similarly, like you need to know the show or the characters to understand the show, right? But in the same sense, I think the beauty of it are those first three episodes where you're just enjoying cinematography at its finest. If you're a movie or TV person, you're going to love that aspect about it. And really the big plot is underlying for the good first three, four episodes. Yeah, little things come out, but you know, it's those first three episodes are really just enjoying the time period and the type of film that they make and a couple little hints, but you're like, what's going on? I mean, they've just let up weekly wanting the viewer to give more. And who doesn't like that in a show? You know, that's what I, when I watch a show, I want it to end where I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen next? Like, come on. That's the whole point of a show, I feel like. So it's telling a story. If you're a fan or even a minor fan who's just seen the movies, I think I think your parents are going to enjoy this, the years of cinematography, I guess, in it, and those aspects. And then just because you're so invested in the characters, by episode four, they start revealing some big things. You're like, okay, wait a minute. Now we're getting reeled back into Marvel stuff. And this is cool, but they're still keeping us with all the fun TV stuff of that time period too. So you're still getting the mix of both. I mean, you can't go wrong with that. Normally, like, they'll kind of call it quits on that sort of theme. And it's like, nah, let's just focus on Wanda now and the storyline of Wanda. But they don't. They still pay attention to the details of keeping it as a show that you're watching from a time period. So I'm interested to see. We got two episodes left. I think they've done a good job.
Yeah, I always say, like, when, and you know, this is an original or unique thought, but when Marvel's at its best, it's really good at getting the comic book reader invested because they know, like, oh, like House of M was that. That's a tie into that comic from like the 80s or 90s or 2000s, whatever, right? And then they're really good at getting like people like Jimmy Woo with the card thing, and people who have dedicated themselves to watching all the MCU movies are like, oh my gosh, that's so funny. And then I think, and it's sometimes it's a little bit hard to remove ourselves from our previous experiences, but if you were to take out everything that you know about the MCU and you're just watching this as a show, it's really fun to see the mystery. You kind of pick up on the fact that, okay, Wanda has some powers, and this is clearly like a, you know, they're doing a pretty fun mock-up of shows from the 50s, 60s, et cetera, et cetera. But you know, like, something's different here, and it lays it all out for you. You don't have to know any of the stuff before. So yeah, I agree with everything you guys are saying.
I saw another thing that was great about the show is like, even when Jimmy Woo's, you know, when he's there and he's writing on the board and he's asking the questions that I think we all ask ourselves while we're watching this, yeah. Why the heck? What does this mean? Is this guy dead or alive? Like, all that kind of stuff. And I think the foresight is from the producers and the writers to be able to know, like, this is what the people are going to be asking. And like, to let us know that, hey, like, basically saying, like, they're Chekhov gunning us by just saying, like, okay, like, I know these are the questions. These will eventually get answered. Like, otherwise they wouldn't put those up on a board unless they're eventually going to get there. So it's great stuff. It's entertaining and it's a sprint. So I would say the episodes are basically 20 minutes long. So if you're behind, you're not that far behind. You can just jump in now and catch up with everyone else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point too. They're very quick episodes. Like, they fly by and you're like, oh my gosh, they pack a lot in that 20 minutes. It's great.
Yeah. It's unreal how Marvel continues to just crush it. They really do. So we'll see how it goes. And then Falcon and the Winter Soldier next month. So I feel like if you were to ask us what we're more excited about a year ago, probably would have said Falcon and the Winter Soldier. But man, it's going to be this. Oh, you were all in for WandaVision?
Dude, I was too, honestly. WandaVision on my desk. Like, yeah, hey, I have the Funko Pops.
The Winter Falcon is honestly the show I'm least looking forward to, because I'm even looking forward to Loki over that. So not going to say it's not going to be bad, but like, if I had to rank them, it was Loki, WandaVision, and then Winter Soldier Falcon, because I could like care a lot. And WandaVision may get number one, but I just know Loki's show is going to be awesome. But if you're ranking all three, like, WandaVision's, again, I know you're not as a fan of Mark or myself, Rojas, but
what the hell is going on here?
But Wanda is like the most powerful character.
I know this.
I just don't understand. I don't know.
I've read the comics.
Did he?
For the listeners, no. Boyle has been gatekeeping our fandom because apparently he's the only one who who actually cares? Right, Rojas? I mean,
seriously.
He said it. He said it so nonchalantly in our group chat. Like, well, I'm clearly the biggest fan. Like, okay, buddy. Like, all right. It cans off.
I have access to the same info you do. Just because I don't have 17 Funko Pops laid out in front of me.
Whoa, lay off my Funkos.
I'm gonna bring them into this.
I gotta tell you, reading House of M after episode one or two was a gift and a curse, because honestly, every episode now I'm kind of like, all right, where are the references? And then they don't come, and you're like, all right, I kind of got too much in my head on that. Like, really thought I was gonna see I don't know, Luke Cage show up, but whatever.
That would
imagine, I mean, like, that's the big reveal. Like, who's like, how are we gonna get into the hacks? Oh, great, it's Luke Cage. Like, oh man, I turned it off.
And that's the other thing, they have talked it up so big now that if it's someone like super small, it'll be laughable.
Paul Bettany said it was gonna be someone he's always wanted to work with.
I saw that.
Yeah, and if we're doing that, I mean, I think the two biggest ones that I think people are really clamoring for that I think makes sense based on that interview. If it's Michael Fassbender as Magneto, that would be massive. That would be huge. People would go bananas. Yeah. Or if it was our man as Charles Xavier.
James McAvoy?
Not James McAvoy.
Patrick Stewart.
If it was Patrick Stewart just rolling up in that wheelchair, people would go bananas for that too.
I honestly, Boyle wouldn't have to text us because we could probably hear him screaming from his house.
Could hear him all the way from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Oh my God, let's go.
You're like, Boyle
watched it.
Final question. Are we going to be staying up until 4 a.m. or waking up at 4 a.m. to watch the finale?
No.
Maybe. I might do it.
There is a sick part of me that's like, I could probably wake up at 5 for that.
I can do it.
By the time I watch it I usually watch it at 6:30, 7 o'clock each Friday. By that point when the episode ends, the memes on the internet, on Twitter, are just rampant through Twitter, the Twitter sphere.
Yeah, because there's people who literally wait till that 3 a.m. kickoff. They're like refreshing the page. Yeah.
And it's the same, guess what? It's the same Sheldon meme every time. I don't need sleep, I need answers. It's like that meme was funny 17 times ago. So
it's still funny.
It is pretty true though. I'm just like, oh my God. Got to look up Monica Rambeau's relationship to Carol Danvers. And then, my buddy Greg texted me a great theory about the next step with Monica. And I'm like, that sounds about right. So, well, let's move on to our movie we're going to talk about. And also, thanks for all the feedback about what we did last time, breaking it up into two episodes. No one got in touch with us about it, so. Thanks again for the feedback. Appreciate you guys.
lost it. That was amazing.
Well, he's like, message us. And it was just crickets. I was like, okay.
Oh, all right.
Turning it into two isn't so bad for a listener. Editing it, about the same. Anyway, we saw a movie that Boyle was quoting at the beginning of the podcast there. Judas and the Black Messiah just came out this past week on HBO Max and in theaters. It's about Fred Hampton and Bill O'Neill, about how Bill O'Neill was this FBI informant that infiltrated the Black Panther Party and that kind of conflict that brewed from that. This is based on a true story and it is getting a ton of buzz for Oscars and what has been just a very bizarre award season. Up is down, down is up. No one has any idea what movies are eligible for what. Just reminds me of watching Lamb Chop as a kid. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, that lamb does look good. Quickly, directed by Shaka King. This movie stars Daniel Kaluuya. As Fred Hampton, Lakeith Stanfield as Bill O'Neill, Jesse Plemons as Roy Mitchell, and Dominique Fishback as Deborah Johnson. We'll get into her later, but I thought she was great. Didn't know Lil Howery was in it as Wayne. That's my guy. Martin Sheen's in there. A bunch of other great actors are in this movie.
This is a star-studded cast.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Loaded. It was very loaded.
Always good to see a movie that was meant for theaters on streaming because you're just like, yeah, this is solid. Guys, I'm going to just kind of give my quick thoughts and then give the floor to you guys. I really like this movie a lot. I feel like every other week I'm referencing this, but in a year now where we've been seeing mostly, for the most part, mediocre movies that they're just handing off to us because they know they weren't going to make a lot in theaters. A movie like this comes along and you're just like, yes, Hollywood, man. Know how to make solid movies like that. Like Mark alluded to, great actors, great acting in this movie. This is an acting movie right here. you know, a very straightforward story. And just honestly, just you felt like the power of this movie, you couldn't take your eyes off it. I really like this movie a lot. Let's go to Boyle here. Boyle, what did you think about the movie? When did you see it? When did you watch it?
This morning. I basically was going, I started about some of it last night.
Then you were washing dishes.
And no, I wasn't. I was sitting on the couch and I got about an hour in and I was wiped. So I ended up crashing, woke up again this morning and started a little bit prior to it and then continued through. And it, I mean, wow. I didn't know the story. You know, I knew about the Black Panther organization and stuff, but I didn't know this story. So I appreciate hearing a true story and watching a revolution like this form and having somebody, you know.
Yeah, boy, I was in your boat with this one too, because it's like, you know, we're familiar with the Black Panthers. Just like,
so you guys most people are. You know this story going into it?
I did not know Fred, like the story of Fred Hampton himself going into this.
Interesting.
Thank you. That's what I was going to say too.
So I ended up while I was watching.
Oh, no.
I took out my trusty laptop I looked up like kind of who he was and kind of what he was all about. So just to give me a frame of reference.
Gotcha. So not to give anything away, but since this is a true story, the way this story wraps up, is intense. So I first heard about this story when I watched The 13th this past summer. And as knowing how this story goes did not ruin my viewing of this movie at all. Just because of just, man, oh man, how many tense scenes. But boy, I have to imagine the end of this movie is probably...
I was in a place. We've been doing a lot of social justice reform in my school. We've been having two different PDs about it. One is a district and one is my school. So we've been talking about a lot of matters that obviously are brought up in, you know, situations like this and that stem back to this. And it's tough material. And what's the toughest part, I think, is that his own like brother really just threw him under the bus. Like he just like, he was trying to protect himself. It's tough. Because every person always looks out for themselves, but how do you end that last scene? You know, the raid itself is just like your stomach just turns. Like I remember finishing being like, I knew this was going to happen. I don't like, if I don't know the true story of a movie, I don't want to do what Mark did and go look it up. I want to take it all and then I do my research after, mm-hmm. just so I can see what did the movie give me for everything and then what do I need to still find out on my own. So it was definitely tough to watch. I appreciated the real footage at the end too and what he had to say in his last words, but it was a very powerful movie. I did enjoy the movie. I thought that the acting was superb. Some of the best acting we've been able to enjoy a movie in probably over a year, you know, besides Promising Young Woman and some of those other good performances last year of real good acting. You know, it's like
Wonder Woman. Yes.
Jesus. You can't even don't.
You can't let him get through.
Don't
one
do
thing.
That. I won't let you do that. So it really was a great movie. Great acting by all. A tough story to watch. And, you know, yeah, Mark, what are you thinking of the movie?
Oh, I got thoughts, pal. Let me tell you. I will say that what they were able to do with a film like this, especially with the subject matter that is involved with this, you know, it's pretty difficult, especially when, you know, these political movies. I always like to say that what happens is they can be divisive, right? So it's like, you know, they're showing it from one sort of viewpoint and you could alienate an entire audience within like minutes, right? Because you can tell which side this is going to be from. I think that they were so good, you know, kind of with their production values and kind of writing and sort of character viewpoints that this could kind of avoid that. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie. I did kind of spoil the story for myself, but I mean, dude, the story title is Judas and the Black Messiah. What did Judas do to Jesus? Like, it's in the title. Like, I was like, yeah, all right. Like, I wasn't like blown away, and I didn't feel like it ruined the story for me. The highlights, though, is definitely the acting. I thought Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield, dude, like, these guys have just been putting on a clinic, like the both of them, mm-hmm. for like the past like 3-4 years. Anything that these guys are in, they nail their role. They're sick. I love it. So, you know, good on them.
Yeah.
The story, it is, as Boyle said, it's a lot of tough subject matter, and especially, you know, dramatized. It's not a true documentary. This is, you know, it is entertainment, whether it's heavy or not, which is tough to do. But I think the overall quality of just everything, like production value, the scripts, again, with the characters, I can't stress that enough. I mean, it's going to be impossible to deny the movie's quality, especially come award ceremonies. I think this is going to be looked at as one of the top films of 2021.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a stretch to say. This was definitely made for theater. And we're lucky enough that we got to have it straight to a stream. I enjoyed this. I thought it was great.
I did too. And I think it was crazy that like it took 12 years for this first civil lawsuit to finally like go through and get settled. Like that was, you know, all those facts you read at the end. It's just like, man, it was sick what the government was able to do and what they still do. You know, it's crazy. It's unfortunate too.
Yeah. I was listening to an interview with the director today, Shaka King, and the Lucas brothers. They were the kind of guys behind this movie. Boyle, if you want to fact check me on this, I believe the Lucas brothers, if you ever saw the movie 22 Jump Street, I believe those two are the twins in that movie. And Boyle can fact check that for me. So kind of better known for their comedy and not their drama, but it was interesting. You know, they wrote this script about this movie and Ryan Coogler helped produce this movie.
They wrote the script? It was the Lucas twins?
Yes, you're right, dude. That's amazing.
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's interesting. And Shaka King, again, like this isn't kind of like his normal lane that he's in. So, I mean, for an outing like that, they just let the actors cook, it seemed. But, you know, what they did, what the director mentioned, and I thought it was fascinating, is our main character here, Lakeith Stanfield, you know, the real life person that they found in their research and reading about and watching the interview with him, Bill was in it for Bill. Bill was looking out for Bill always. How can Bill stay ahead here, help himself, right? Very interesting to watch a movie where your main character is, it's, you want to talk about shades of gray, good, bad, yeah. Like it depends on where you're coming from, but also the character himself, he was just in it for himself. Like this is just a very, and for us to buy in as an audience and make that compelling. It's so interesting because it's not a very like black hat, white hat kind of movie at all. Your main character is a guy that's vacillating between these two worlds here. And, you know, yeah, it's very interesting. And one final thing I want to say, Daniel Kaluuya Kaluuya, I always mess up his name. I always have, and I feel terrible about it. And Lakeith Stanfield, like Mark mentioned, one of those two is winning an Oscar this decade. Like, unreal. I mean,
they are great, like great actors. I totally agree with you.
If it was me, Stanfield was better.
Really?
I thought he had a better performance. Yeah.
He has the tougher.
I'd give it to him.
He has the tougher emotional arc in this movie, I think, for sure. He has to do a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot with his character, he had to act through, he was more acting through expressions,
yes,
and kind of actions. Like a lot of his acting had to do without words. I think that's harder.
Yeah,
I think it's easier to like give a monologue.
I think
Stanfield was the better performance, and I gave them both, like they were both phenomenal.
And Daniel Kaluuya is British too, so he has to do a kind of 60s Chicago, not really Chicago, I mean kind of like accent Boyle, and just get rattling off these speeches, man, where he's just like, he's got like the very flashy kind of scenes, and he crushes it.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting too that I think you could almost say that they're going to be very Oscar-ish people, I feel like, for quite some time. I do agree. I think that they're definitely in the right. They're always in big, powerful movies, both of them, and they're great performances. kind of like what's his face that we always talk about, like Timothée Chalamet and stuff. Like, I just feel like
Lucas
he's
Hedges.
Already in there, but like it's kind of like it's. I feel like they're kind of the faces I would see that. Anytime we watch them, they just put on these amazing actor performances, and I think that they're ready for that nod. They're especially in a movie like this,
yeah,
to get that nomination. Never mind, like, possibly win it too. The acting
puts them over the top, right?
Yeah.
Because they, I mean, it's been like years that they're always in a movie like this.
Always
like something where it's not only like popular with the critics, but you know, they're standouts. So these guys are good.
Yeah,
I'm excited to see what else they can do, especially after this.
Seriously,
and what they've already done.
I think I've seen.
And I'll tell you something. Yeah. Wasn't expecting, like, you know, weird sidebar, but like Jesse Plemons popping on screen always brings a smile to my face. I just love Jesse Plemons. When I saw him, I was like, oh, okay, I love Jesse Plemons. That's pretty fun. Like, didn't expect to see you, and then. He was really good at playing a conflicted character the whole time. And I thought the conversations with him and Martin Sheen in the room and like even him at the, you know, one of the rallies, it was very, he did a good performance, you know,
Jesse Plemons, definitely. Very good at being creepy.
That's always, that's he's always
being creepy.
Just this one was that's intimidating creepy. Yeah, it really is. It's, and I want to also quickly mention Dominique Fishback, who plays the love interest in this movie, Fred Hampton's interest. She was really good too. I mean, gosh, that scene where she's reading her journal or poem or whatever, and her a lot of facial expressions and acting throughout her performance as well, and very solid powerhouse performances, like you guys mentioned before. I had to sleep on this one in terms of a score. But on the Fisher scale, I give this one a very, very strong 8 out of 10. Really solid movie. I really like this movie a lot. And if you're someone who likes watching, at the end of the year, the Oscar kind of movies, like the Oscar-y kind of movies, I recommend this one to you.
I was going to go similarly 8 out of 10. You know, thought 7.5 because I just think I'll like... Will I revisit this movie? I don't know. It's not like a blockbuster, you know, 9 out of 10, but it is a great, very well acted, deserving of all of the efforts put into this movie and how well it was done. It's an 8 out of 10. So
Mark on the score scale.
It's 9 for me. I was having a great time watching this. It's I think maybe I'll revisit this and it might have to get knocked down. Maybe I'm so excited because I saw something decent, you know, something like newly released.
That was such good quality.
So,
yeah.
So maybe that's influenced my score a little bit, but it gets 4.5 stars out of 5 for me.
All right.
My, the only other person I know that I've seen this movie is Marcus, and Marcus, said it's an 8.5 to 9 for him. He really loved it, and he likes those two guys a lot too. So, high remarks all around by us. Average score of the math is hard.
8.32 or something
for between the three of us. Yeah, sure. Yes. All right. Yeah. Great. Took AP stats 11 years ago. Can't remember.
Yes.
A single thing.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes. Maybe.
So yeah, that's Judas and the Black Messiah. Catch it on HBO Max for the time being until mid-March, and then it will be still in theaters as well. So what I like to see in this one in theaters come December, normal times. I can't even really think about normal times anymore. It's there's no alternate world I can even exist in anymore where I'm like, oh man, would have been great. Like that never would have, like, my mind has moved past that now. So that's kind of where I'm at. Let's move along to something that has existed in my mind, and that's the Good, the Bad, the Watchable for this week. Guys, another terrible 2 weeks where I saw 4 movies. So
I have no bad this week, so that's one thing.
I have no bad either. I really can't.
I can't complain about that.
My bad is a force. I'm going to move that I can take extra time on my bad because you guys don't have one, and perfect. Explain myself for why I put an editor's note in our script and I'll explain why.
You can because, borrow because my time.
My bad is actually the worst of the movies I just watched this past 2 weeks,
which means you're having a good 2 weeks, right?
I'm having a good run, and I think we're all kind of in the same boat where I don't have that much time to watch a bad movie.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing where having a
great way of putting it,
this whole job thing getting in the way of watching my movies.
What's that about?
BS.
Hate it.
Not a fan.
No one's got time.
You know
what?
I hope they hear this. I'm just kidding. I love my job. Thank you guys for having me. I love you. All right. So let's put a minute on the clock for Boyle, who always starts us off with our good, the bad, and watchable here. Again, it's pretty straightforward. We put a minute on the clock and we talk about a movie that we saw this past week, or movies that we saw that was good, movies that we saw that were bad, and movies that are just plain watchable right in between. Boyle, a minute on the clock for you. Are you ready, set, go?
The first one is Face Off, which was on Amazon Prime with Nicolas Cage and none other than John Travolta. What a great movie. I've seen clips and pieces of it my entire life, but never from beginning to end. And it just was fantastic. 9 out of 10. You can't go wrong with it. The plot is perfect. The comedy between the two, the characters, the way that each actor was able to portray the other character too, was just so well done between the both of them. There's a word for it. I can't remember it. Also, Coming to America, also on Amazon Prime. First time I saw that, absolutely loved it. 9.5 out of 10. Mikhail and I were cracking up the whole time. It's such a good movie. I'm so excited. I mean, I'm excited for a second. They don't need to do a second. It is what it is. I'll take it. But like, you know what? The first one was so good. I'm nervous the second one's going to ruin it for me. But that first one is just, Coming to America is easily one of the greatest comedies of all time. Done.
Nicely done,
Boyle. Snuck it in there, Boyle. Not bad. About 5 seconds to spare.
Love that movie. That's one of my favorites of all time.
It is. I mean, both phenomenal movies from you, Boyle. I love both those movies.
I couldn't be stopped this week.
The thing about Coming to America, I just want to quickly add, and I mentioned this maybe a long time on the podcast. My buddy Christian and I, when we were at a hotel for work in New York City, again, New York City, you could do anything in New York City that you want to. We spent 2.5 hours in a hotel room watching with commercials and edited Coming to America still, because it's just that funny. Like, yeah, you can't take your eyes off it. I love it.
Nope.
All right, Mark, are you ready? Because you got some heavy hitters as well.
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, sir. Take us away whenever you're ready.
All right. Hold on. 3, 2, 1. All right. For my good these past 2 weeks, I watched Raging Bull because I share a birthday with Joe Pesci. And he plays a prominent role in that. I'd never seen it from start to finish before. It's on HBO Max. It's fantastic. Some of the best acting from Robert De Niro and Pesci that we've ever seen. It's older. It's done in black and white. Subject matter is a little heavy. Kind of shows just the rise and fall of a prominent boxer. Again, another dramatized true story. I loved it. Definitely would recommend. Again, that's on HBO Max. And then I also, since you know it's Valentine's weekend, I watched When Harry Met Sally for the first time. It's on Showtime. It's very funny. It's a sprint. You get right through it. They jump on the timeline a lot. Kind of shows like their progression as a relationship from acquaintances to friends to, you know, how that goes. Not really spoilers. The iconic scenes are still, you know, I was laughing a lot more than I expected. So I definitely recommend that. When Harry Met Sally, it's on Showtime. I'm done.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Billy Crystal at his finest, I think. Meg Ryan, also great.
Yeah, something that Nick said to me, Rojas said to me, it's like he's not even acting. Like, that's how good of a job he was. It's like he was just being himself, that movie. It was, I mean, I loved it. It was very surprised at how much I liked it.
You can see, too, watching that, you're like, oh, yeah, Billy Crystal, I can see why he hosted the Oscars all the time and just crushed it, because he's just so good. So, Nat, it's like he honestly just walked on a set and they just started recording and he was just saying whatever he wanted. All right, I'm going to put a minute on the clock for myself here. All right, in 3, 2, 1. I watched 1984's The Terminator. Just excellent. Arnold Schwarzenegger showing up as the Terminator. You got Michael Biehn, Linda Hamilton, James Cameron directed this. It goes back to our discussion about techno-noir, which James Cameron coined and actually named the club in the movie techno-noir. This movie that has elements from the future set in the present day of 1984. Very shadowy, noir, kind of trying to escape the big bad Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know, don't have to overanalyze this one. This movie kicks ass. It's awesome. I love it. So, Terminator. All right, I'm done. All right.
Nice. Terminator. It's tough to beat. I'm not going to lie. When you said James Cameron, I hate when this happens to me, but the James Cameron song from South Park popped into my head.
I haven't heard that one in a long time. Yeah.
Remember when they need James Cameron to raise the bar for society? Because the bar got so low. Because anything passes entertainment. His name is James Cameron, the greatest pioneer. Don't listen to it. It'll get stuck in your head forever. Because it's stuck in my head right now. Curse you, James Cameron.
He won't hear this because he's still working on his 17 Avatar sequels. And so
which are like all approved right now.
I love that what's her face said. She's like, I filmed one of them. I don't know which one I'm in.
Yeah, she doesn't know. She doesn't know which Avatar.
What's her face from Titanic?
Kate Blanchett?
No.
I have no idea.
It's Kate Winslet. There we go. Yeah,
Kate Winslet. I was close.
She filmed scenes for these Avatar movies. She's like, I think I'm in the second and third one. I'm like, wow, okay.
Wow, that's how they're filming it? They really have no idea what they're in and not in?
They just show up for scenes, and then they're like, don't know which one that one's in.
Yeah, it's chaos.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Boyle, it's wild. All right, Boyle. We don't have a bad, so we're going to cede our time here to Mark. Mark, yes. Take however long you need to talk about this movie.
I did it, ladies and gentlemen. I watched Willy's Wonderland. That's right. Nicolas Cage's latest horror movie. You may have seen the trailers on YouTube. Definitely not on TV. I had to look this up. It had a budget of $5.5 million, allegedly, which doesn't make any sense to me. This movie, of course, is Nicolas Cage gets trapped in a old school Chuck E. Cheese-esque type place called Willy's Wonderland, and they come to life and try to kill him. And get this, Nicolas Cage can put up a good fight. It's now, even though it's under my bad, this movie was awesome. I have it under watchable and like the best kind ever. We don't have to do, spoilers, because like who knows? I mean, you can still watch it. Who cares if this movie gets spoiled? Nicolas Cage does not say a word in this movie. He doesn't say a single word. And it's chaos. This movie's awesome. He drinks something called punch. It's just punch and there's a fist on it. And it says caffeine. If anyone listening to this knows how to get a can of that, please contact me immediately, because I've never needed to drink anything more than I've needed to drink punch. the movie, it's absurd. It doesn't make any sense. It's a Nicolas Cage movie. If you like seeing some Cage Rage, hashtag Cage Rage, this is a great movie to watch. My only complaints are no iconic, absurd Nicolas Cage rants or lines, because as mentioned, he says nothing. Like the acting, all bad. The cinematography is all bad. I can't believe that it had $1 million next to the budget. I couldn't believe it. If you get the chance to watch this, please do. Please. But alas, it's under bad for this week's episode. I'm done.
All that, it still just ends up being listed as bad. But you know what? That's the Nick Cage zone, folks. It really is. Potential Halloween costume? With his outfit there, I think for people who haven't seen it, it's a kind of like a the logo of this alternate world Chuck E. Cheese, basically.
Right, and then also they have like the catchy, creepy like birthday songs, because it's supposed to be like a kid's place. Mm-hmm. Those get stuck in your head too. Oh, it's your birthday, and we
Mark,
want
was
you
it scary or was it ridiculous? And just
it's like, ridiculous. None of it's scary. There's awesome. Like none. I didn't think any of it was scary. It's all like, I think the way I described it was, it looked like a low budget, like early '90s slasher, like straight to VOD early '90s, like awful movie.
Okay.
Cause yeah, there's like some, I guess, gore kind of, but like not really, like not at all. It's remember, like, this is a ridiculous movie. This is not a horror movie.
Do you remember the '90s when we used to get those like coming straight to DVD?
this might not even make those previews, but I loved it. I might watch it again.
I do miss those, Boyle. You love The Emperor's New Groove. Well, get ready for a new adventure with Kuzco and Emperor's New Groove 2. And it's like none of the original actors.
The Emperor's New Waltz. He does ballroom dancing.
Krunk's Revenge. Let's love Krunk. It's time to move on to watchable now, Boyle. And I'm excited what you have to say about this, because this movie came out with some, I don't know what the word I'm looking for. I guess once you say it, people will kind of understand where I'm coming from, because I think this was a buzzy movie for awards. So let's put a minute on the clock for Boyle and go.
All right. So I saw One Night in Miami. That is my watchable for this week. It basically was four cast members just fighting for glory in performance of the year. I don't want to say boring, but like it just kind of was like you were going with the flow for the movie and you always felt like you were waiting for something, but you never got anything. It's a very just dialogue movie. About 60% of the movie is them sitting in a room just talking about things, or then they were on a rooftop at one point talking about things. And they're talking about very important things. So I can't, without giving it away, but you know, they talk about race and how they have the strongest voices because one is an NFL player. One is Malcolm X. One is a famous boxer who ends up becoming someone. Can't really, because that was kind of a whatever. I don't know. I don't want to give stuff away.
Cassius Clay, aka Muhammad Ali, is like the most famous athlete in the 20th century.
I'm trying to beat her. Basically, they explain how that came to be. And Sam Cooke, and the casting was great for all of them. I thought performances were great all around. And personally, like Odom Jr. just really did a great job of like singing as, you know, Sam Cooke and stuff. I really thought that I really like him anyways, but they all just, I felt like it was a very emotional movie. Just like not that I was getting emotional, just like you listen to all of them speak of their ways of how they need to be. They need to use their voices for bigger purposes, as Malcolm X would share with them. And that was it. And it was just, that was the movie. There's nothing else in this movie. You don't need to explain anything else, understand anything else. Like that's what you're going into this. So it's a very Oscar-ish style movie in the sense of it's just a bunch of solid performances. And I think that's why it's unwatchable, because it's enjoyable for someone like us who are into that sort of thing. But I wouldn't recommend this to most people to go watch a movie. It wasn't like that. Like I thought One Night in Miami, something crazy might've gone down at the end, but it really didn't. It was just the journey of their conversations through the night and where they ended up.
Nice. 2.5 minutes, Boyle. Appreciate it. I'm just kidding.
Well, I forgot, honestly, that I was on time for like that entire thing.
I know. It was fine. Look, One Night in Miami, everything I was hearing leading up to the movie is that it's a play as a movie.
Okay.
So knew that kind of going in. Still haven't watched it. I will watch it eventually, maybe. I believe this was the directorial debut of someone
that Regina King.
Regina King, thank you. Mark, you're watchable. We had some discussions about this privately.
Ooh, yes, we did, friend.
Take us away whenever
you want. I have some feelings. I watched Hustlers, and it's 2019. I watched it because I saw that J-Lo was making a stink about how her and her castmates in this movie got snubbed in the Oscars. I was like, I wanted to see this. Let me give it a whirl. Friends, lend me your ears. This is watchable. This is not that great. It's not that bad. I thought it was all right. I had a good time, kind of. It dragged for me at points. I think the intention was to make the protagonists, seem like criminal geniuses and sympathetic to a point. But given how the plot progressed and how each character acted in varying situations, that was just an impossibility to me. Shout out Julia Stiles. She was the best actress out of all of them. Even though she had minimal screen time, she was the best. This is watchable for me. I'm a huge J-Lo guy. Huge. Not great. Watchable. I'm out.
Thank you. I was a fan. I really like that movie. That's
you can see it on Showtime.
Thank you.
I watched a lot of Showtime these past 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It's available on Showtime. Yeah. Everyone will see it there if you need to see it. Again, not bad. Not great. Watchable to me.
Yep. I think like we were, and we were texting on the side too, is that I thought it was fantastic the first time I saw it, but I know in an everlasting sort of movie, I could totally see the watchable version of it, because I'm like, is it watchable? Sure. Like, here's a perfect example. Michaela, actually the other night, I think it was on HBO or something at some point. I remember on a different platform, and she was like, hey, you want to watch that again? I was like, I could, or we could watch something else. Like, I just like, it is watchable. Right. It is a good movie, but like, if I have the choice to watch something brand new, I might watch something brand new before I go to that. But for someone who hasn't seen it, the performances are really well done. And I thought that the acting was good. So, but I loved your take on it. I thought it was a good text conversation for us.
You know me, I don't rewatch movies, but Hustlers definitely falls in that category. If I'm with someone and they haven't seen it, I'd be excited to watch it again. So,
yeah, I think with my problem, like, this isn't a rewatchable for me either. I mean, I thought the story, I thought the cinematography, the production, and I actually thought the performances, like across the board, I thought they were just pedestrian at best. I thought it was good enough to just kind of keep this going. I did not really see the buzz behind this. And I was actually kind of disappointed because I had some high hopes for this. I mean, they roped me in with they used J-Lo to tempt me and reel me in. And then once I sat down, it was over. I was trapped. I couldn't go anywhere.
Couldn't go anywhere. Kind of like how Patrick Swayze and Ghosts couldn't go to heaven. He had unfinished business. That's my movie for watchable this week. Watch it on Amazon Prime. Patrick Swayze, Demi Moore, Whoopi Goldberg, 1990. Great, great romantic movie that Jules, Renee, and I watched on Valentine's night. Actually, 5/6 of my family watched it Valentine's Day weekend, which was hilarious. It was started with mom and dad, and then I think Marcus sent a Snapchat of it, then Madison. So I love this movie. First time really watching it from beginning to end. I thought it was excellent. Look, it is perfectly quintessential romantic watchable movie. Whoopi Goldberg, fantastic. Patrick Swayze overacting, love him. Demi Moore crying like a champ. Great movie. Ghost, Amazon Prime. Check it out. There we go.
I might watch that tonight.
It's a solid movie. There are definitely some funny parts for sure. And there's definitely some unintentional comedy too. So guys, segment here, rewatchables. Tell me, what are you rewatching?
I threw this up there because I rewatched Tommy Boy while I was cooking, you know, just kind of messing around and threw it up there. A movie that, you know, I think most of us, especially people our age, have seen a million times. Guys, it's still funny. It's funny every time. And like every scene, you know, it's just Chris Farley at his best. You know, I mean, David Spade had some of the best zingers and one-liners in that movie. That's on Showtime if you have access to it. Just a timeless classic. And then my father and I, we watched Knives Out together on Amazon Prime. He hadn't seen it yet. Now, I've seen this like 5 times already. That movie gets a 9 from me. It gets better with every rewatch because it's such a detail-oriented movie. There's so many little clues and hints in there every single time. That is a great movie. I couldn't recommend it enough. If you're at a crossroads, you have no idea what you want to watch. You know, nothing is popping out at you, and you have Amazon Prime, watch Knives Out. Do yourself a favor. Those are my rewatchables.
I can't believe you have watched that a lot of times, Mark. You really have.
I just keep watching it. Like, I just keep getting back to it.
It's good to know because I haven't rewatched it since the first watch because to me, that's a movie that you know the ending, but like, hey, I'll give it a try.
It makes it better because then you see, you know who's in that movie?
Mm-hmm.
Sandfeld. And you know who does a good job acting in that movie?
Who's Sandfeld.
That? Like, the guy can't miss. The guy's on a heater.
I know.
When he showed up in that movie, I remember in the theater having my mouth open being like, no one told me Lakeith Stanfield was in this movie. And he wasn't just a cameo. He's in it consistently.
And that's one thing I do love about when we try to see a trailer, not see a trailer. It's like, I was watching a movie trailer the other day with Michaela. And actually, ironically, we were going to do it for the show and we're not. But Michaela still wants to watch it with me, which is bliss. And I watched her the first minute of the trailer and she's like, oh my God, I'm in. I'm like, right? And I stopped it. And I was like, you don't need to see any more because we're going to get ruined by this trailer. So then I appreciate because normally you don't see all of the actors and actresses in the first minute of a trailer. So it's like, you get those surprises from people and you're like, I didn't know you were in this.
I so badly want to spoil a Bliss for you guys.
No, I heard it. Did you watch it?
Boy, did you watch it?
Yeah, I'm here. No, not yet. Nope.
Oh, man, I've literally heard not even good heard things.
It's the worst movie ever.
Worst movie. Like the worst movie.
It's terrible. Okay. I've heard it's absolutely awful.
Uh-oh. I'll let you know if I get
it. And I'm like, Boyle, though, I thought that I wanted to watch. Like, we talked about this. I was like, this, yeah. I'm in. I was like, this movie looks great. Good.
Boyle's like the video, viral video of the all those raccoons in the dumpster. It's like, oh, what's in the trash? And it's just Boyle at the bottom being like, feed me. Feed me.
Yeah, it's just Boyle surrounded by extra copies of Bliss.
It's
rolling around.
I went all in, guys.
It's an 8-hour cut of Wonder Woman 2. Like, I gotta watch it. gotta compare the dialogue from the first 2 hours. Gotta compare the dialogue. Oh man. God. Well, look.
Hey, Mark, I'm gonna ruin something for you to end the show.
Great. Wonderful. It's yeah. Ruin it. Do it.
So, Punch Soda, or the Punch drink he was gonna drink, was originally supposed to be a Pepsi in the original script.
That's so lame.
That doesn't ruin anything for me. Does that mean I can drink Punch? Like, is there real? A real Punch?
I'm looking it up. I haven't been able to find anything on
again
it yet.
Listeners, if you have the ability to find the beverage Punch that Nicolas Cage drinks in Willy's Wonderland, send it to me. Send it to my office. I don't care.
Care of Mark DeSisto. Well, normally this is the part where we'd be wrapping up and sending it to a Cookie and Kristen review, but they have been out of power the last 2 days in Texas there. Extreme cold for the Texas, 30 degrees. So my thoughts are with them whenever they'll be able to listen to this podcast episode. They're doing okay. But yeah, guys, anything else we want to talk about before we go? Yeah. I'm very excited for Boyle to rewatch all the DC movies yet again, leading up to the Snyder Cut re-release.
I heard he did it. I'm not doing it again.
Do it again. Come on, Boyle. Where's the dedication?
Now I don't have the time. I just did it 2 months ago. I was getting ready.
I know. All right. Well, we appreciate it. Mark, please let us know if another Nick Cage movie drops in the next two weeks. I know
you're 2 hours. Yeah, 2 hours. How am I not in that movie?
Meets the requirements of every Nick Cage movie.
I think I said that in, hold on, we'll sign off with my official written down review of this, because I think I wrote down the elements of a Nick Cage movie.
Oh yes.
Yes. Willy's Wonderland has all the elements of a Nick Cage movie that we've all come to know and love. One, it combines serial killers with animatronic animals. Two, they're screaming.
Yes.
Nick Cage movie.
Is this a movie? Yes. Do I get to scream in it? Yes.
Yeah. I'm in. And some of the other reviews I like, the same sort of satisfaction. Oh no. Same sort of satisfying watch that comes from watching a patio get jet washed. That's like, I completely agree with this. That's how satisfying this movie is.
That is very satisfying. I like that. Well, that wraps up the show. I hope everyone enjoys WandaVision with the next two episodes before our next episode comes out. Check out Judas and the Black Messiah wherever you can, HBO Max or in theaters if you feel safe about that, wherever you are. And yeah, like, subscribe, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, GBW Pod, Mark DeSwolsto, OBoyle92, Rojo36 over here. Let us know what you've been watching. Let us know what you've been digging. And maybe we'll read it on the next podcast. But judging by the fact that no one got in touch with us about last time's episode, not going to hold my breath for any feedback from you guys. So prove me wrong. You won't. I dare you. But anyway, that's Mark DeSisto. That's Nick Boyle. I'm Nick Rojas. Signing off. We'll see you next time.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Happy birthday, Mark.
Week late, but I'll take it.
28 plus.
We didn't have a podcast. No.